Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Pleil, joined in the studio by Robbie Wilders and Tom Park. Quite a jolly studio today. No Paddy Power rep. They're all too busy watching the Irish Grand National at Fairy House, so it's down to me to read out the prices, lads. But we're all spirits are high, Parky. You've had loads of time off.
Yeah. Plenty of racing, plenty of golf. Well, trying to play golf anyway. but yeah, went a good few days at Newmarket last week. And
Robbie, you had yesterday off. We've been working, but had some spare time.
Certainly did, yeah, in fine form. Tom Park currently wearing shorts at the moment. I sort of wish I did as well. It's a lovely day out there. Getting a bit hot in this studio in these tight black jeans, but we move on.
You don't really have any other fashion attire, really.
No, I'm quite one-dimensional, like famously. Well, if it works, why break the winning formula?
No, it's a fair point. It's a fair
point. Did any of you have the winning formula in the Scottish Sprint Cup then? Sahek, he was well fancied.
He was well fancied. Certainly not. I couldn't have picked out this winner. Doing most of his running on turf. That's a third win in the race in 6 years for Mick Appleby. He's certainly trained to follow in it. He saddled Caspian Prince to win the race last year, obviously off a huge weight, and this was a different kind of display, but an impressive one nonetheless.
Yeah, it was, Parky. I mean, great trainer and a result that wouldn't have surprised a lot of people.
No, not at all. It almost looked a bit too simple, really. Look, the first two in the running they got, they were prominent all the way through.
Yeah.
I thought the third ran a good race to come from midfield, but the horse that really caught my eye was one of Jim Goldie's called Primo's Comet. He was held up and then didn't have a clear run, got a little bit outpaced, and then he switched over to the far rail, which wasn't the place to be, as you saw with the Moment of Madness. They seemed to be going backwards as the ones up the stands, stand rails came through. I think he's one to keep on side. He's only raced over 6 furlongs 3 times, but I do think a step up in trip might help this horse. He looks well handicapped. He certainly looked like there was plenty more to come there, and a similar contest, maybe something over 6 furlongs. I could see him coming back to winning ways, really.
Okay, one for the notebook then, out of the Scottish Sprint Cup. Austrian School, it was pretty easy going for him. Again, a fancied runner, and these Mark Johnson horses, they're pretty solid, aren't they, Robbie?
They do, yeah. You'd be a brave person to predict when this horse is going to stop improving. I did that for a mark of 102. He'll probably got half a stone for that, I'd say. That puts him on the cusp of listed Group 3 class. He's actually a half-brother to Tiger Roll, which I recently
found out.
He is,
yeah. I shoehorned that in on the Friday's postcast.
I must admit, I didn't listen to the Friday's postcast, but no need to say that was there anyway. Damn Swiss Roll, what a fine broodmare that is for the owners of that mare. Not sure where it'll go next, but there's a good calendar for these stayers, and Mark Johnson will sure to find more winnable targets, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. I think he has got an interesting entry in something like the Yorkshire Cup, Parky, or Doncaster, one of the cup races. I think he might have an entry in. So, could he fly that high?
Yeah, look, he's got to keep improving. He was certainly very good, as he said. He's a typical Mark Johnston runner, and you'd imagine that before the Yorkshire or Doncaster Cup, he'd probably be getting a few start runs into him before then. So we'll probably know a little bit more about him, and he probably might find his level before then. But look, he looked very good. I certainly wouldn't rule him out at this stage of one of them races, but he's going to have to keep improving.
Yeah, the Fairy House Festival we'll move on to next has been taking centre stage over the last couple of days. Most notable winner was Honeysuckle on the screen behind us. Really, really impressive. Missed Cheltenham, but Cheltenham's loss is Fairy House's gain. She was brilliant yesterday.
She was brilliant. Look, I didn't know. She'd looked very good before, but I mean, probably wasn't the strongest of races, but she looked like she could be potential champion hurdle class next year. It's that Larina kind of conundrum, really. We're going to have to see her against top class horses to see where her level is. But she looked like a motorbike the way she just like sprinted clear of them. Great win for another great ride and win for Rachel Blackmore.
She, first Irish Grade One.
Yeah, I was surprised actually to see that. I thought she'd won a couple before, but great for her. She just keeps on getting better. And Henry de Bromhead's got some good horses in that yard this season. And going on to next year, her and Appleutard, and they had the Albert Bartlett winner as well.
Nella Indo, yeah.
Look, I'm glad for Henry de Bromhead. I like him as a trainer. I think he's very, very, very good. And I think he's got a very, very special one in Honeysuckle.
Yeah, yeah. Top man is Henry de Bromhead. Robbie, 8-1 for the champion novice hurdle now. You're a big Punchestown fan, and obviously Park has mentioned targets like the champion hurdle. Do you think it's hard, isn't it, with these mares where they're going to stick to their own sex? Do you think you'd like to see her in something like a champion hurdle?
I would like to see it, but they've got the option of going for the mares hurdle, and that's probably one that will be explored. She's obviously never raced out of mares company. This was another career best. You could argue that perhaps missing Cheltenham played into her hands a little bit. I was actually really taken, though, by the second, El Phil, who's owned by the same owner, Ken Alexander, made rapid late headway at the end of the race. Looks like she'll stay a bit further. She's the only one closing on Honeysuckle, and she'll be the one. She'll be one to follow for me in the future next season.
Yeah, Eglantine de Soy, the Cheltenham winner, in third. Another winner from yesterday, another Grade One, was Wada Rev. He's now 7-1 for the Ryanair Novice Chase. Ruby Walsh, I'd say at his best, but the race sort of, for me, it was a bit iffy. It fell apart a little bit. Would you agree?
Wasn't the best of Grade Ones, was it? Mm. Look, Real Steel's good yardstick, but he's probably not a Grade One horse, let's be realistic. Mm-hmm. Ruby was very good on Wada Rev. The other two didn't run the race. I mean, Winter Escape probably isn't up to that level anyway.
He's not really got the body to rely on it, as he's, I mean, he's broken blood vessels in the past.
Yeah, exactly. And look, the form of Aplutard meant that some people could give him a chance. He wasn't that good. Mengli Khan has had a tough season. He kind of revived it at Cheltenham, and an entry of two decent runs. He always seems to throw it away under pressure. He never even got in a position to put himself in the race, really. Don't really know what they're going to do with him. He's another that's probably not up to Grade One class. Whether I'd be jumping into Bat Wada Rev at Punchestown, probably not. I just... Look, he could be... He looks like he's a potential improver, but that wasn't the best of races. He's still... looks a bit iffy when he's jumping to me. And I'm sure there'll be something at Punchestown where there'll probably be three or four, I think, that'll be better than him if that's where they decide to go next.
OK, Robbie, I mean, Wada Rev, he's had problems with his jumping in the past. His technique did look a lot better. But are you with Parky? I mean,
yeah, I'd be
surprised if one or two weren't a little bit better.
I think this is one of the weakest renewals I can remember of this race. Obviously, Album Photo beat Shattered Love in it last year. I think a small part of that would be the proximity to Punchestown this year. There's a two-week gap rather than, well, even less than 2 weeks, rather than 3 weeks, which it would normally be. So that's probably cost a real quality field. It looked like Real Steel was coming to win his race. He travelled quite well upsides. Well, just in behind Wada Rev, but didn't quite find enough. Good ride from Ruby, and I should touch upon a really poignant win for owner Graham Wiley. He's had a tough time of things recently with Bally Ward, invitation only, and up for a few horses who are all on the upgrade as well. So that was a welcome to see at Fairy House.
Yeah, it was indeed. Good action also at Cork and at Plumpton, and even in France, De Bonker, their champion mare, bouncing back. And notably, Dan Skelton, he did it. He did it. He had a magnificent six-timer. What a trainer, Parky.
He is a very good trainer. He's got an amazing knack at just targeting. He knows where to put horses. He's almost predicting what kind of fields he's going to have, what kind of horse he's got to go and win them races. Mm-hmm. So, look, fair play to Skelton. He's a top trainer. He's got a good jockey at his disposal as well.
Do you think Harry should get more outside rides?
I think he probably should. Look, he's winning good races. And I actually don't think that he makes that many bad mistakes, really. I don't think we talk about... I think sometimes jockeys, you kind of say, oh, they've got that wrong. And Harry Skelton, to me anyway, and look, it's all...
Well, he can't do, can he, if he's riding that many winners? Well, he's clearly not making that many mistakes.
If you're riding winners, that's all that matters. He's got the horses to do it, and he's getting the help from his brother in putting them in the right races, but he's still got to go there and do it, do the job. And yeah, he's a good jockey.
Yeah, Robbie, I'm very much of the opinion that in order to be a good trainer, it's about placing your horses, about campaigning them and finding the right races, as well as having the quality and the quantity as well. And Dan Skelton, it's something he's clearly learned from Paul Nicholls, as to where to place his horses.
Exactly. You can see that Nichols has very much rubbed off on him in that respect. He's a master at finding these winnable opportunities. He's actually, his string seems to be gradually improving year on year. He's got the Grade 1 winner in the Mayor's Hurdle at Cheltenham, obviously. And what's to say that he can't add more Grade 1 laurels next season? Just to touch on Harry Skelton as well. Yeah, you could argue he might come in for more outside rides, but Skelton has so many horses that he very rarely goes without a sit in a decent race.
That's true.
I would certainly echo those sentiments in that he is a very good rider. But yeah, he has such a big string, so I wouldn't necessarily hold that against Harry.
Do you think Dan could really be like one of the new Paul Nichols or the Nicky Hendersons in a couple of years' time?
Paul Nichols, he's a different... Henderson's more of a... He's magic Henderson. He makes things happen when... Nichols, I kind of think him more as well as he does with very good horses. He's also got the ability to kind of, a bit like Skelton's doing now, and as Robbie said, it's rubbing off, picking races, strategic. He's a thinker. He knows what to do. He probably knows the racing calendar off the back of his hand. And Dan Skelton, I'd see him more as that kind of mould, really. And it's not a coincidence that they've worked together in the past. When Henderson... He's a magic man.
He's a bit more about feel and instinctive.
He's instinctive. That's it. And Henderson makes things happen with the horses, I think, more so than actually the actual racing calendar, which is where Nichols comes into his own, really.
Yeah. Okay. Robbie, anything else to add on that, or anything from the weekend's action?
No. It was a really eye-catching performance at Cork, actually, by a horse trained by Paddy Toomey called The Crypt. He's got an Irish 2,000 guineas entry. I'd advise anyone to watch back the 7 furlong rated race over there. He was really impressive, showed an excellent turn of foot by Dark Angel. Last season, he was smart. He had Lady Kaya in behind in a maiden and one for a small yard who could potentially be a classic contender.
OK, another one for the notebook. Parky, you mentioned beforehand sort of the Craven meeting, things like that. Don't want to go into too much detail, but have you had any anti-post bets recently, anything like that?
There's just two that I'd like to touch upon. One from Linkfield, which is pretty obvious, was Catchy. He looks a different horse. I mean, he just keeps on improving, I think. He's so quick out the gates. That was a hell of a performance, admittedly, against lesser horses that he's going to be running potentially at Royal Ascot. I just think that this horse is getting better, and while Blue Point might be very difficult to beat at Ascot, there's something with... Somebody mentioned to me a few years ago that dirt horses, all weather horses, they run really well at Royal Ascot. I think it could be why Scat Daddies do so. And they mentioned that the ground at Ascot, there's like sand underneath, and that's why they run so well. Dermot Welt has a very good record there with horses that have like been prepped on the all weather. This is another that's coming through. I think that he was quite well backed, I think, last year from like a big anti-post price. Didn't really run his race. And I just think that the King's Stand, I think Batash probably won't be, that's not really his race. Blue Point certainly is. I could see Sergei Prokofiev progressing into a 5 furlong specialist this year. And Mabs Cross, I think York will be, I can't wait to get a price.
Mabs Cross not retired?
No, I think she's still going, yeah. I think the Nunthorpe's still going to be her. I'm hoping that we get to York and she'll be 3 times the price that she should be.
Okay.
But yeah, Catchy. And there was one at Newmarket a bit under the radar, that one of Marcus Tregonin's that finished second in a handicap called Power of Darkness. This thing dwelt at the start. It found trouble in running. It had to switch out wide. And then it powered up and was beaten just a neck, but it would have won with another 5 yards. And if it gets it needs quick ground. If that was to next time it gets it, I'm pretty sure that'll be winning sometime soon.
Okay, so plenty to look forward to then for the rest of this flat season. That was just a bit of a taster of it there. But before that finishes, we still have the matter of Sandown on Saturday in the jump season finale. We'll have a preview of that just after this.
Friends, or maybe more, earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. Begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. As promised, we're going to talk about Sandown on Saturday now. And although the Bet365 Gold Cup is one of the highlights, we're all really excited to see the clash between Surname and Altior in the Celebration Chase. That's the Grade 1. Now, I was sort of discussing with you lads beforehand and saying, I don't think Surname's going to run, and that'll be really sad because it'd be great to see such a great horse, the highest rated horse in training, of course, take on Altior, one of the greatest steeplechasers we've seen in recent years. But you say the weather has some hope for us, Parky.
Yeah, I think it's going to rain from pretty much from Wednesday all the way through to the weekend. Probably not good for me and my shorts, but yeah, possibly good for racing fans to get this clash potentially on, if it's potentially on the cards. Look, I took some stick earlier in the season after Surname won at Ascot when I said that he could potentially beat Altior. I thought that he deserved his rating, what he did to a very good field. I've not changed my mind. Certainly Cheltenham didn't change my mind. I think Altior is an absolute machine and probably finds ways to win when he often isn't in the form and good enough to win a race. He's that good. My worry with Altior is that his performances this season have kind of, they've just gone, they're getting worse and worse. There's all at Ascot, it was...
Even in this race last year, I mean, Sam Benedetto gave him a bit of a scare, didn't he?
Yeah, and I just, look, he had a lot lighter campaign last season. This horse has been winning races for a long time now, and look, it's going to take a brave man to take him on, but you've got a serious, serious animal in Surname who produced one of the performances of the last 5 or 6 years when he won at Ascot. It could be that Ascot is just his track, but
you'd have to think Sandown suits front runners though, and, yeah, and horses like him are exuberant.
Yeah, and if he gets into a rhythm, especially down them back fences, which there's no reason to suggest he isn't going to, he could have Altior on some serious, serious trouble. The way that I look at the race is strange for a horse that's kind of been doing his winning over 2.5 miles. He's the one that I'm kind of thinking could actually catch the 2 mile, 2-time champion chaser out for a bit of Tory. I think Altior might be, he seems to hit a flat spot in his race. I just don't know if he's going to be able to do that, if he's going to actually be close enough to Surname up that straight to actually stay, to produce his big finish.
I totally agree. I'm with you, and I think the way Altior races, although he's undoubtedly a great, he just sets that seed of vulnerability there, doesn't he, with the way he doesn't always pick up straight away. And
he's not like Sprinter Sacra, was he, who you just like kind of just tanked through the race. He just did everything dead easy. Altior's...
He makes it look a bit hard work, even though it's probably not.
It probably isn't. And he's just a very good racehorse who's probably intelligent enough to know how to win all these races. But
we'll let you get a word in edgeways, Robbie.
It'd be interesting to see how Paddy prices up. I'm glad Parky stuck to his guns there. I thought he might flip-flop, but he's obviously still a big Surname fan. Down to 2 miles might be a slight concern. Obviously a different track as well. Still right-handed, but no, I'd still have Altior as the one to beat. Having said that, he does hit his flat spots and Surname will probably provide him with his toughest test of the season. Politologue and So Royal in behind in the champion chase doesn't look the greatest form. This might be a time to catch him, but I'd still have Altior winning this. And finally, we might see him step up and trip next season and go for the King George.
Yeah, that would be tantalising, wouldn't
it? Probably, he is ready for that now, isn't he? I mean,
he is ready.
I think if this race wasn't here, they'd have drawn stumps and and just moved on to next season. I could see Altior just winning easy and just coming there on the. But I think if Surname gets Altior off the bridle, which he's been off the bridle for most of his
race, against worse horses,
it'll definitely get him off the bridle.
It's whether it's at what stage he does, because if he's 6 or 7 lengths clear at that point, then I just can't see him pegging him back.
Well, fingers crossed this match materialises, because as you can tell, we've all got very excited about it and we're certainly not the only ones. As I mentioned just after the break, the Bet365 Gold Cup is also a highlight on Saturday. At the minute, Paddy Power have the Young Master in at the 10-1 favourite. Beware the Bear, who missed the Scottish Grand National, is at 12s, as well as Give Me a Copper and Talk Is Cheap. Now, you two have both got some interesting shouts in this one. Robbie, I'll go to you first this time.
Yeah, Flying Angel's a horse I've liked for quite a while. He's got Grade 1 form a couple of years ago in the book at Aintree, winning the Manifesto Novices Chase. No, is it the... No, yeah, I always get... There's a lot of M's at Aintree, isn't there? There's a Mold,
yeah, there is.
A Maghole. It was the manifesto. He's shown glimpses recently. He was sixth in the Topham on his last run. He's been dropped a pound for that, which is probably slightly generous. Fifth in the Ulster before that. He's quite versatile. He'll be suited by the extra, the 3 miles and a bit extra. I'm going to give him another chance. And for that, you can get 25 to 1 with our sponsors, Paddy Power. So that floats my boat.
Indeed. Parkin, you've got Paul Nicholls again. You're going to be on his side.
This could potentially be one of my biggest bets of the season, I think, which is the very end, which is quite...
Not Vintage Clouds in this one.
No, hopefully it'll end up better than Vintage Clouds. So I've been very, very keen on Adrien Dupont for some time for this race. I think I mentioned on here after he was beaten at Kempton a couple of starts ago that the 365 would be an ideal race for him. He dropped back in trip at Aintree over the national fences. Things didn't really work. Go to plan that day. He was almost brought to a standstill, but I actually thought he'd been pulled up after that. It was about three out, but the jockey got him going again, and he finished his race quite strongly, admittedly a good way behind the leaders. The race at Kempton, he got into a lovely rhythm. He was held up.
Didn't go much of a gallop,
They didn't go much of a gallop, and I think Harry Cobden, he said that he knew pretty much from the first fence that he wasn't going to win the race. He finished like a train to finish third. I think he's just a very talented horse who's getting them quirks early. He was a bit of a similar enigma as Surname earlier in his career where he was a bit keen in his races. He used to bolt at times, but he's a lovely jumper generally. And when he gets into a rhythm, which you need to do at Sandown, I think he's just got all the tools really to kind of produce a big race in this. And he's got that class that you need to win a race of this class, really. So I'm very, very keen on him. It's one of these where it's a bit of a lottery of a race, but I can't bring myself to fancy anything else at the moment. So very sweet.
He'll be suited by the strong pace, you think. I mean, it's a big step up in trip though, isn't it, for what he's sort of been contesting. And tactically, Sandham, his step back, he practically made all in this race last year, didn't he? Would you be worried?
A little bit, but look, at Kempton, they held him up to get the trip. He got the trip fine. That wasn't a problem. That was over 3 miles. I think he's probably ready for this now. He's calmed right down in his races. So because he's not as keen, he relaxes a lot more. And I think I'm just very keen on him.
Wish you the best luck.
Make a good case, mate.
Yeah, indeed. We've also got the Oaksy Chase and the Select Hurdle as well, but more of that on Friday's pod. Before we cover the midweek racing, we'll just take another quick break.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Now, welcome back to the final segment of this Monday postcast. We've got a lot to look forward to in our midweek racing section. I'll just run you through those meetings. Tomorrow we have Yarmouth, Ludlow, Sedgefield, Fairy House, Lingfield, Wolverhampton. Wednesday, Fontwell, Perth, Epsom, Southall, Taunton and Dundalk. Thursday is Beverley, Perth, Warwick, Kempton, Tipperary, Chelmsford. And Friday is Perth, Doncaster, Sandown, Bangor and Chepstow. Robbie, I'll go over to you first. I know we all know you're a big Irish racing aficionado and you like the look of a few at Fairy House tomorrow.
Right, you are. Yeah, I've got a couple. I'll be backing at Fairy House, certainly. First of all, 210, the 2 mile 4 Eat Your Vegetables maiden hurdle. Something Jimmy Hill might be well advised to consider doing from time to time. Envol Pierge is the horse that interests me. Now, JP McManus has been having it off at Fairy House this week, hasn't he? This is another one of his horses, Mark Walsh, Liz Doyle, beating in second in a point-to-point 3 miles behind Chantry House, who looks a very smart bumper horse. Good second behind Dream Conti on debut as well. The standard is arguably set by Momus and Latecta, but they've had enough chances. Envol Pierge, much more unexposed and could improve past them. The second one is the 410, the 3 mile handicap hurdle, Defy Blur, third in the Martin Pipe behind Early Doors, and Dallas DePicton, rated 140 after that. Would be suited by 3 miles. There's some good horses in the race. Magnium, Chungaya, My Sister Sarah, Debouchet. I'm interested to see how he gets on stepped up in trip. Two runs before, he was only beaten 3/4 of a length by Darren Ross. That looks very smart for him. I think this is a very smart novice chase prospect and he can win a final handicap hurdle before he goes over fences next season.
Brilliant. And from the jumps, we go to the flat parky on Wednesday. It's that good meeting at Epsom, the Blue Ribbon Trial, and loads of other good handicaps. Now, I know your nap's there, so we don't want to get into that in too much detail, but it's always an informative card, that, isn't it?
Fantastic little meeting. As much as I want the rain to come for Surname and Altior next weekend, I'm kind of hoping it holds back till Thursday because it's...
Are you going,
great,
are you?
Yeah, as long as the rain holds back, it's one of the great booze-ups of the racing calendar, really. I love going and having a few beers at Epsom. So, yeah, that is a great meeting. The Derby trial is always informative.
It's quite interesting. Arthur Kitt, they put him in at there.
Yeah, he's interesting, Arthur Kitt. Obviously, fairy tale stuff at Ascot last season. His form did tail off a little bit. He ran okay against Two Down Hot. I think it was at Sandown.
And well in the Breeders' Cup as well.
And he did run well at the Breeders' Cup. My worry is, where it's always been a little bit whether he's going to train on.
I agree.
His rating puts him a bit clear of the rest of the field. The one that interests me is one of Roger Varian's, who had a fantastic week last week at Newmarket. One of his called Makar, who has had the benefit of a run already this season, won quite nicely at Lingfield in a race he ought to be winning. But yeah, I think there's probably more to come from him. He looks one of these varying horses that just keeps on progressing. And it could be that he meets a couple of backward 3-year-olds from last season. So yeah, he's the one that I would take for that race. And yeah, I'll keep my nap for the Suburban Handicap a little bit later on.
Yes, Parky, so that's the 2:45 at Epsom. If we move on to the action at Sandown on Friday, another great card this. And I know there's a lot of Racing Post representatives who like a good booze up at here as well. We've got the Group 3 Gordon Richard Stakes, also the Group 3 Classic Trial, and the Bet365 Mile Group 2. So some great quality action. Crystal Ocean could be reappearing in the Gordon Richard Stakes as well as horses like Thundering Blue. Any fancies?
Yeah, I mean, look, if Crystal Ocean turns up, he's going to be very hard to beat. I think he's rated 125, which is probably a little bit enhanced because he ran in Able so close, but that was her first start. But Crystal Ocean last year, I think, did he run in this race? He did need the run. I think he scraped home. Mm. So he's always needed the run. I think he'll need the run in this. There's a French horse called Intelligent who's got some decent form, but, I mean, Crystal Ocean's going to have to run nearly a storm below his mark to so it would be disappointing if he gets beat. But that said, I think there are slight vulnerabilities. He'll probably go off a very short favourite. I'm not sure what's going to definitely line up against him. But I would be cautious. I certainly wouldn't be looking to back it. He wouldn't be a betting proposition at odds on for me.
Okay, Robbie, do you have a look at Sandown?
Yeah, I did. Chris Lotion, very interesting in the Gordon Richards. I'd say it's almost a crime that this horse is yet to win a Group 1. He's gone close in a couple. He is top class. But like Parky said, you'd have doubts on his first run back. He doesn't have to carry a penalty, though, so that will stand him in good stead. In the mile race, Charger Bridge looks like he might take quite a bit of beating there. He has fitness on his side. He was impressive on his comeback over Mark at Doncaster. Won the Balmoral last season in unbelievable style. Spoke to Roger Varian, as I've touched upon before, on the stable tour. He's expecting a good season. I think we're going to see a good season from him, and he looks like he could be a potential Group 2 horse.
Yeah, totally agree with that. Let's get some naps now.
This will not be beaten.
Fabulous. Right, Tom Park, kick us off.
Yep, as I said earlier, in the 3:55 at Epsom, I like Mountain Angel for Roger Varian. He won this race last season with UAE King. I always get the UAEs mixed up, but I think it was UAE King.
Ajman King.
Ajman King, it might have been, yeah. He won this race last season with him. Things didn't go right for this horse last year. He was beaten a few times when he went off quite short favourites in similar contests. But look, I trust the Varian Yard to get this one right. He's a 5-year-old. And given the form that Roger Varian's in at the moment, I just think this looks a very good opportunity for him to get back to winning ways.
Okay, Robbie?
Yeah, got an interesting one at Dundalk on Wednesday. Hope he's declared. Western Australia, trained by Aidan O'Brien. By Australia, Derby winner, out of an unraced half-sister to dual arc winner, Trev. And he's rated 67, so it's obviously not all gone to plan. Should be chucked in off that mark on pedigree. He ran okay in a couple of maidens last season. He was seventh in a big field handicap on his comeback this season when the yard wasn't quite far in. Aidan's had a couple of winners recently. Steps up and trip to 1 mile 4, and he should really be winning off that mark, and I'll be having a fair chunk on, I'd say.
Okay, in the absence of a Paddy Power rep, I'm going to do my best and give a nap as well. I'm not sure it'd be too much of a price, but I'm really interested in Bangkok, who runs in the 3 o'clock at Sandown on Friday. We've seen the King Power, Sylvester D'Souza and Andrew Boulding combination strike many times so far this season. I think that's a theme that's going to continue. This lad really impressed at Donny, and the horse behind him, Telecaster, has since absolutely bolted up at Windsor. So I think he could potentially be a Dante horse. So he's my nap. Thanks for joining us, Robbie. Parky, best of luck with your weekend tips and the week ahead. As always, please rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening to us from. And we'll be back on Friday for the tipping postcast. We'll view all the cards in more detail then, and we'll see you soon.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.